I'd like to send you out of a special tape I'd like to send you out of a recent revival that was just in. And I hope and pray that it will be a source of encouragement and a blessing to you as you listen to it. I tell you what, for sake time, we're just going to put one song on so you can kind of feel the spirit movement there and the great revival there at the church there in Texas. And I hope and pray that it will be a source of encouragement and a blessing to you. We'll be bringing a message on you got what you wanted, but you lost what you got. May God bless you now as you sit back and listen to this. And I hope and pray that it will be a source of encouragement and blessing to you. If I can ever help you in any way, just contact Brother Johnny and we'll do whatever we can. May God bless you now.
I can still go free. Lock me up in a prison and throw away the key. Take away the vision from these eyes that now can see. Oh, deprive me of all the food I eat, and even bind my hands and feet. But as long as I know my Jesus, then I can still go free.
What kind of man would reach down his head and do this for me?
Unworthy to live and not be to kill, and in a
man on the cross put me in his will and said that I could still go free.
Now I never could quite understand why a king would want to leave his throne and on the role of an earthly man feel the pain of flesh and bone. Then to later trot a lowly path that led to Calvary, where those blood red stains they broke all the chains that I could see.
I could still go free. What kind of man would reach down his head and do this for me?
Unworthy to live and not be.
Man on the cross put me in his will and said that I could still go free.
Holy Saint, that
I
somebody. But I also want to thank you, if you're the first time visitor here, thank you so much for coming and to being in the service with us tonight. Amen. We really, truly appreciate that. I told the preacher a minute ago, I said, I'm going to cut it short tonight. We've had singing. We've just enjoyed and testified and just had a great time in the Lord. Amen. Isn't that good? Amen. The Lord's just good to us. The Lord bless us real good. And I want to thank the lady. I don't know who she is that give me this brooch to give to my wife. I do appreciate that. Amen. I really do. I really appreciate that. And I promise you Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, I'll be home and I'll give it to her then. Amen. So thank you so much. I don't see you in the audience, but I do thank you for giving it to me. Amen. For my wife. Now I want you to look at the 106th Psalm. Then we're going to turn over to Numbers chapter 11. The 106th Psalm. The Bible says in the 106th Psalm and the 15th verse, let's read from verse 14. It says, But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but he sent leanness into their souls. Did you read that? He said that they was in the wilderness. He said that he granted their request, but he gave them leanness of their soul. Now look over at Numbers chapter 11. You see, David talks about this later on, what had happened here. Now, Brother John, show you something. In Numbers chapter 11, if you'll follow me along here. In Numbers chapter 11, about verse, we'll start reading from about verse 4. And the Bible said, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again, and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? For we remember. In other words, they got to thinking about where God brought them out of. Where God had brought them out of Egypt's land. They begin to think back of the past life, of what they used to be. And my friend, a lot of times that can be dangerous. Is that right? Yeah. I get sick and tired of hearing, bless God, places I go. I hear these preachers get up and say, you know, if I wouldn't have got saved, I could be a millionaire now and all this kind of junk. By what they give up to serve the Lord, I can tell you the only thing I ever give up was my rotten, dirty sins, vomit on the front of my shirt. Is that right? With a stinking headache. Is that right? And eat up with guilt, amen. Hallelujah, you didn't give up nothing, is that right? That's all I hear everywhere I go. Oh, I just give up this. I could have been a millionaire if I wouldn't have got saved. Is that right? They begin to think back at Egypt's land, and look what happened to these guys here. It says, we remember the fish, and we did eat in Egypt freely. It said, but the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic, but now our soul is dried away. There are nothing now beside this manna. If you read the 75th Psalm sometime, that manna was angel food, what he fed those people. Did you know for 40 years the Bible said that their shoes didn't wear out? They never outgrew their clothes. God took care of their clothes. God gave them angels food from heaven for 40 years taking care of them Jews. God put a cloud over them in the daytime where the sun, where they wouldn't get sunburned. God put a pillar of fire at night to keep them warm out there in that desert. Amen. God loved them people and God took care of those people. Now here they are. They out here, Brother Marlon, and they begin to look back at Egypt and they said, it's so much better to be back down in Egypt's land. That's what they're saying. They said it's so much better to be down there. And then they put an accusation against God. They said, God, I tell you what, because we're out here now and we just got this manna to eat, this angel's food, our soul is just drying up. It's your fault, God, we're drying up. That's what they said. Now look at here. Look at here. What happens now? Look at here. And the Bible said in verse 16, and the Lord said unto Moses, gather into me 70 of men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people, and the officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee, and I will take of the spirit of that is upon thee. And he said, and I'll put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bearest it not thyself alone. You ought to remember that. Pastor a lot of times can't bear the burdens alone by himself. Amen. But thank God Moses had enough spirit on him, he could anoint 70 men. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Look at that. And it says, and he said that you will have to bear it alone. In verse 18, it said, and thou and the people, sanctify yourself against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh. God said, you're going to eat flesh. God said, you wanted it. You don't want to eat my manna. You don't want to eat Amos' food. I'm going to give you some flesh. But look what he said. He said, you want flesh? I'm going to give you some flesh. And he says, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us down in Egypt. That's what they're accusing God of. They said, I was better off before I got here. Therefore, the Lord will give you flesh. I said, ye, and ye shall eat. He said, ye shall not eat one day. God said, you're not going to eat it one day. God said, you're not going to eat it 5 days. God said, you're not going to eat it 10 days. God said, you're not going to eat it 20 days. God said, you're not going to eat it 25 days. God said, for 30 days, you're going to eat that meat till it's going to run slam out of your mouth. Out of your nostrils, it's going to run out your nostrils and run down the front of your face. Then they said, God, if you don't let us have this, our souls is getting lean. And we just dried up. We just completely dried up. That's what's happened to us. But David said, I read you first in the 106th Psalm, verse 15. Bible said that they lusted in the wilderness, and God gave them flesh, and he sent leanness to their soul. You see, they was already complaining that they was dried up on God. You see, here's how it is. There's lots of things that you might want in life, and God don't want you to have it. God will try to say, you've got no business with that kind of stuff. But you keep on, and you keep on, and you keep on. And God said, if that's what you want, I'll give it to you. They said, if we don't get it, we're going to dry up and die. God said, if you do get it, you're going to dry up and die. Is that right? I want to bring you just a one-point message tonight. Oh, we got what we wanted, but we lost what we had. They had the God of Israel to take care of them. He fed them. He clothed them. He gave them the shoes on their feet. And listen, if they had the God of glory to take care of them. Listen, they lost what they had. Is that right? Listen, is that right? We got what we wanted. So they got their flesh. They got what they wanted, but they lost what they had. They had the God of glory to take care of them. Is that right? How many times has that happened in your life and my life that we just kept on asking God for this and that, and first one thing and another, and you knew God didn't want you to have it? How many times you went out there and you prayed about having a new car or something like that, but there at that time when you had the old car, you could go, yeah, I need a hamburger every once in a while. You could go out and buy a new dress or something, but you stepped out of the will of God. God said, well, go on and get it. You get that thing pretty soon, you can't even afford even the payments or the insurance on the thing, and you'll say, I got what I wanted, but I lost what I had. Is that right? Dr. John R. Rice said, when he was a young preacher, every time that he would get up to preach, that the tears would just stroll down his face. And he said, I got so embarrassed, but he said, I was having multitudes of people saved in my meeting. He said, I asked God one night, God, why don't you take my tears away? I'm so embarrassed getting up on that stage of preaching with those other preachers, and I just weep and cry every time I get to the pulpit. And God granted his prayer. God dried him up. But you know what happened? It wasn't very long after that in Binghamton of New York. Old John R. Rice, my court of time. I said, God, give me my tears back. He got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. Did you know, if I travel all over this country, about every place I go, I find more preachers saying that same thing. I got what I wanted, but I lost the Bible. Every night you try to get up and preach, and it was dead. It was so dead, you couldn't hardly open your mouth. You couldn't get a holy grunt out of nobody. You couldn't get nothing. You know what happened next to the last night of meeting? The preacher got up. I seen him when he went down the aisle. He went about middle ways, and I seen him no motion for his wife to come out. And she come out. He walked down the front of the aisle. Here's what they said, Brother Marlon. Brother Jim said this. He said, I myself am the hindrance to this revival. He said, you see, when I got a chance to leave that little bitty church down there, I thought, listen, this would be the greatest opportunity for me to be able to do more for the Lord. I got what I wanted. But he said, the bad part about it is, I've been out of fellowship with God. He said, because here's what happened. He said, I moved here to Houston, Texas. I took this church. 3 weeks later, later after I got here, a little 18-year-old girl was killed in a car wreck. She's buried in the cemetery out behind the church fire. And we never did want to go back to Virginia because that's where our little baby is. But he said, I got to get back in the center of God's will. Glory to God. He got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. Is that right? He got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. And you will too. Is that right? Get what you want. You can do it. You can do it. You can get what you want and lose what you have. Is that right? That's exactly what the children of Israel did. Get what you want. And God says, is that what you want? I'll dry you up to get you back to the place that I can use you. It's something that goes on all over the country. I've had ladies come to the altar. Poor old preachers come down there. And they get on the altar and they begin to say the same thing. Preacher, I had it made. God blessed me. God took care of me. Is that right? And then I lost it all. God, I lost everything that God gave me. Ladies, how many ladies you've dealt with and I've dealt with that's done the same thing? Felt for some old song or from some guy. Is that right? You look at that Susan Smith there. I was not very far from Long's Lake where she put them babies in that car and run them off down to that river down there in that lake down there. Every bit of it was because she wanted to have a man, and the man said, I'm not going to take your children, and she killed the children. She got what she wanted, but she lost what she had. Is that right? She got what she wanted, but she lost what she had. I've seen it happen over and over. I've seen it happen more time, brother. I've seen people that just for power and greed. They say, God, you got to give it to me. They want a church. They'd be out of fellowship with God. They want these things. And God said, listen, I've got the perfect plan for your life. But son, you just go ahead. If you want to do it that way, you just do what you want to do. Is that right? You get what you want. But you can sure lose what you got. Is that right? Right over there about leanness of soul. But in 1 Samuel chapter 8, I'll just give it to you real fast. We're not going to stay long. 1 Samuel chapter 8. The children of Israel went to the prophet Samuel and said, Samuel, you're getting to be an old man and stricken in years, and your sons is not walking in your steps. Give us a man. Give us a man that might be king over us, that we can be like all the other nations. Is that right? God told Samuel in that sixth verse, he said, Samuel, they've not rejected you, they have rejected me. Is that right? But he said in verse 12, he said, you go tell the children of Israel that they can have a man that he... You know all the people they pick. That's the way churches do. They wouldn't want no ugly guy like me to come out there and preach. You know what they did? They looked around Israel and found the tallest guy they could find. Is that right? They find a tall guy, good looking, is that right? And they said, that's what we want to pastor us, is that right? And God said, you can have him, amen. You can have what you want, but you're going to lose what you got. And that was God. That was God. God said, I'm taking care of you. You don't want me to be your king over you. Then God says this in verse 12. He said, I'll tell you what you're going to do. He said, what you're going to do, you get this man to be a pastor. Ain't it funny nowadays? People always want these mixers to pastor. Is that right? Ain't it strange every mission conference I go to? Here comes, listen, a man and his wife walk in. I don't care where they go into the foreign field. And if she's built, I mean, real good, looks real good. He's tall, plenty hair, looks good. He'll get a support just like that. Is that right? And he might live like the devil. Is that right? Here come another old boy in there. I mean, ain't he got a matching shirt and a suit? Big old fat thing, him and his wife. He can't never get out nowhere. Is that right? Is that right? That's the way we do. We listen and we look at the outward appearance. Is that right? You got what you want, but you'll lose what you got. And they said, God, we don't want you here. We want Saul. We want Saul to be our pastor here. God's trying to tell him, look, can I tell you something, fellas? I got a little boy playing up on the sheep on the little hills out there with the sheep out there by the name of King David. That's the boy. Oh, I know you wouldn't want him because he smells like sheep, amen. But that's all right. God said he's my man. God said he lays in the clover and he tells midnight that I am his shepherd. He said, I love you, David. Glory to God. You got what you want, but you lose what you got. Is that right? You get what you want, but you lose what you got. Amen. Oh, God. You get what you want, but you'll lose what you got. God said, I got a man for you, a little old shepherd boy. Then God says, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. If you get Saul, you're going to lose your children. He said, he's going to take your sons, and he's going to get them working on chariots. He's going to take your daughters, and he's going to put them in the confectionery. That means like a baker working in the kitchen. You'll lose your children. I want to ask you something. How many churches you've seen that I've seen has went out there and got some of these little moss-backed, limp-wristed guys to pass their church, wouldn't stand on the truth. Is that right? And you wind up losing your children because the only thing about it is they worry about is pizzas and puppets and projectors. Is that right? That's God. John the Baptist didn't fly no kites. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Bless God. Amen. You lose your children. God forbid. God forbid that I'd lose my children. God forbid. You got what you want, but you lose what you have. Don't you say, Brother Johnny, trying to say? That's what they did. They chose Saul instead of choosing God for theirself. They got what they wanted, but they lost what they had. Isn't that sad? You say, Brother Johnny, can that happen? Well, let's give you an example. I know you've heard a thousand times. What about King David? Talking about getting what you want and lose what you have. When he got up on top of that housetop that night, that day, and he saw Bathsheba there taking a bath, and he got to listen to that other man's wife, had to murder her and cut her pregnant, and lost his own family, lost all of his children. Is that right? God, listen, everybody trying to tell you something. God will forgive you for anything. God will forgive you. But I guarantee you one thing, you will pay the consequences of it. Is that right? You will pay the consequences of it. David, God told David, he said, that sword will never depart out of your house. It'll always be hanging right over your head, David. You go ahead on. You remember Amon, how he raped Tamar? You remember Absalom went out and killed him?
Yeah, come on.
What did he say when he saw Absalom? He said, my son, would to God I had. Would to God I had. You see, David got what he wanted, Bathsheba, but he lost what he had. He lost what he had. Is that right? Is that right? Then, listen, in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 24, the Bible said in the last days how that they would take, and they would change the truth of God unto a lie. And through their vile affections, God turned them over to a reprobate mind. America's got exactly what they wanted. We got the biggest whore-hopping president that has ever been. Amen. You say, I don't like that. I can't help if you're a Democrat. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to tell the truth. Amen. I'm trying to tell the truth. We put him in office here, and now we're going to pay for it, brother. You better put that down. Amen. Is that right? Bless God, here just the other day in Washington. Listen, the queers was a marching up and down, and old Al Gore, Al Capone Gore, and that bunch was a cheering them on. He come to Tennessee here a while back and brought 150 queers with him there. You say, Brother Johnny, don't call him queer. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Huh? Amen. And it says, and they burned in their last blood towards the devil. We got what we wanted, but we... I had to hear those things. I got it right here. I was thinking about it. You see this thing here? I got it in the post office. In the United States Post Office before I come here. I went in the post office, and they got this woman here standing in the corner on a cardboard thing. She's standing there with an M16 with a hard hat on. Look, she's got muscles like a man. You see, you women got what you wanted, but you lost what you had. I drove up to a road construction the other day, and there was a woman. I guess it was a woman. I know it had to be a woman. She was standing there with a little old flag sign like this, with a little old flag like this, and a hard hat on. And to make her mad, I pulled up beside her. I said, sir, can you tell me which way is east or west? Amen. I tried. Amen. That's God. You women didn't want to stay in the house and make beds, biscuits, and babies. Now you're working on the assembly line. Is that right? wonder why you're losing your home. First God, you men take your wife, put her on the charge of some men to lust after her. You're going to lose what you got. Is that right, brother? Chase keepers at home. Amen. Amen. That's old time way. That's all right. It still works. We didn't have as much. We didn't have as much sin and marriage and divorce and stuff then. That's God, when they did stay at home, as you got nowadays. Is that right? I'm trying to tell you the truth. Listen, listen. We took our wives out of our home, and we put them on the assembly line, where all these men can look at them and lust after them and say all kind of, hear all kind. Listen, women cuss now as bad as men do. Is that right? And you other ones to stay home. I got your number 2. You like to stay home and watch all my sinning children. General horse puddle, amen. You like that general horse puddle, don't you? Amen. You sit around and read them old, supposed to be Christian love novels by that Oakley woman. It's of the devil too. That's the reason when your husband comes in, you're all mad at him, want to jump on him. Is that right? You sit down there and you watch these old models. You watch these good-looking guys on TV. I mean, on them soap operas, they got groovy, nice-looking hair. They're all tan. I mean, listen, I mean, their bodies, I mean, you just love them to pieces. Then you look at that slob of yours comes in that room. Amen? Is that right? You've got, listen, you'll get what you want, but you'll lose what you got. And what's so funny about it is half them guys is queer anyway. Amen. Amen. You'll get what you want. Thank God. But you'll lose what you got. That's the Lord's truth. I was out in California when Rock Hudson died. Listen, them women, listen, actually fantasized after that man. I mean, there's so many of them movie stars that had kissed and everything with that man. It was all spitting on the ground when I was out there. Amen. Amen. Brother, you get what you want, but you lose what you have. And there's one thing, Brother Martin, I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose the touch of God. Jonah got to the place of his life. He didn't want to preach no more. My good preacher friend a while back was Brother Boone. He was just finishing up in the church. And he got ready to walk into the car, When he got ready to go get in the car, he heard somebody in the bushes say, psst, psst. My preacher friend turned to him and looked at him. He said, I thought I remembered him. I thought I remembered him from a long time ago. And he said, brother, he said, we're standing in front of the church light. All the other members was gone. The pastor was gone. He said, when the man walked in the light, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, you woman. Me and her run off. Me and her run off together. Yeah. He said, listen, we got a divorce now. Okay. And my two boys is hunting for me with a gun to kill me. My two boys is hunting with a gun to kill me for what I did. You know what he said? I got what I wanted. But I lost what I had. I got what I wanted, but I lost what I had. And then he got in the car, my preacher friend, and they went riding up the road. He asked my preacher friend, he said, I'll hold your Bible for a minute. My preacher friend said, yeah, and he opened that Bible and he got to look through it. He said, he told my friend, he said, you remember when I used to preach from this? You remember when I used to preach from this? You remember when I used to preach from this? He said, yeah. You don't want to lose the touch of God in your life, man. You don't want to do that. He said, you remember when I used to preach from this? And he said, yes, I sure do. He said, can I sing you a song before you let me out? He said, yeah. That poor, old, powerless preacher. Well, that'd be a shame, Brother Bob, to go out of this world not having no power with God. No power with God that God can touch you or you can touch God. You know what I found out? You know what I found out a long time ago about those preachers that got the touch of God on them? They're some of the strangest fellows. They're strange. A lot of times they like to back off. Stay away from the public. Get along with God. Get in there, study. Get things from God. And they believe that some things that you might call as impossible. My best friend, my mentor in the ministry, Brother Mays Jackson. You talk about a believer. Boy, he put that faith in me, teaching me how God worked. He said, One day he got ready to go to Atlanta. I said, one day he got ready to go to Atlanta. And he went and asked Sister Dot. I said, Dot, will you go down with me down to the post office in Atlanta? And she said, Mays, I'm real busy. I just got things to do. He said, I went to one of my son's room and I asked him, would you go with me to the post office? He said, oh, Daddy, I got to get ready for choir practice. I ain't got time to go. He said, I just walked in the living room like this. He said, I said, well, Jesus, will you go with me?
Amen.
He said, Jesus said, I'll go with you. He said, I walked to the front door of my house. I opened the door like this. He said, I said, come on, Jesus. Come on out here. He said, my neighbors was out there cutting grass and opened the door. And I said, give you in Jesus. I shut the door. He said, we got drove on down. He said, I was just talking to him. He said, people see my lips moving at red lights. And he said, they thought I was crazy. He said, I drove up to the post office. And there was a black postman there. And he was taking the mail out of the box. Brother Mays got out, went around the corridor and said, get out, Jesus. He said, I looked, and he said, his eyes got as big as pancakes. He said, you are amen. Are you talking to Jesus again? He said, you are the spookiest preachers I ever seen. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Don't you see what I'm saying? You don't want to lose the touch of God in your life. You don't want to lose the power of God. If you lose the power of God, you're finished. You're finished. I don't care if it's in your singing. I don't care if it's in your Sunday school teaching. I don't care if it's in your preaching. It says what Jonah lost. Jonah lost the desire to pray. Jonah lost the desire to preach. Jonah lost his complete desire. He had what he wanted. He got what he wanted. But he lost what he had. Okay, Brother Johnny, tell you one thing before it goes. I have seen preachers, now you might not believe it, that has wound up on God's shelf, castaways, never to be used again. Never to be used again. They got away from God. They got away from God, and they got to operating in the flesh and living in the flesh so long until they can't tell. Listen, they can't tell the fleshly from the real. Don't you see what I'm saying? We can do it. You see, there's a lot of had left the ministry, but the ministry's left them. It's all right. We can get what we want, but you can lose what you got. One day, we'll call us a while back, sister. Sister, we was talking last night, talking about boys joining the military. Told me getting what you want. He told me, Brother Bob, that they brought these new inductees in to the Marine Corps training station. And they said they brought these new Marine boys in there, new recruits, they brought them in. And listen, they got to looking for this one boy, and they couldn't find him. And they said, that the DI, the drill instructor, went inside the barracks, and there he was, back in one of the bathroom stalls. He was just smoking on that cigarette. That DI busted open that door there and said, oh, you like to smoke, huh? Oh, yes, sir, yes, sir. But I didn't know you was going to catch me. He threw that cigarette down the latrine there. He said, come here, son. You like to smoke? Come on out. He said that drill instructor got him a whole pack of cigarettes, told that boy, said, open your mouth. He opened his mouth like that. He began to stick cigarettes. I mean, until they was all to his mouth, looked like a Gatling gun, amen? And he lit every one of them cigarettes. He said, now you puff on that. Then he put a bucket over his head. You see, he got what he wanted. Is that right?
Right.
Huh? I was in Kansas here with him. I told him, that boy joined the Marine Corps. He said, the reason I've joined the Marine Corps, I'm sick and tired of being at home, being around my parents, having somebody tell me what to do. Huh? Ain't that the stupidest thing you ever heard? I want to join the Marines so nobody will tell me what to do. Huh? Hey. One thing, we're gonna close. We was in Kansas here a while back, me and Brother John, James, and Brother Josh, and all of us here, and Brother Allen, and the church that I was in, it's the funniest thing. I tell you, people get so way out and crazy. You know what they was doing? They was building Y2 shelters. Now listen, and you listen to me. I travel all over this country. I go to some of these churches, listen. Some of these churches is getting together, and they're putting food and water, pistols, rifles. Wait a minute now. They're going to shoot their brother from the Trinity Baptist Church. They come over and try to get a drink or something. Is that right? They said, I asked that guy, why was you doing that? He said, the reason I'm doing that, he said, we're going to have a big computer closed down. Everything's going to be shut down. Nobody gives a welfare checks, no social security checks. Everything will be lost. Can I tell you something? There ain't no Y2K. Can get your name erased out of that book. Bless God, let them do all they want to. If your name is in the book, and let it collapse, we don't care. Is that right? Ask God, let it collapse, let it do what it won't do, but it ain't going to affect you if you're saved by the grace of God. Is that right? I went to the church here. He took care of our forefathers. I'm doing the depression to take care of us right now. Amen. Is that right? Glory to God. Let's bow our heads and we'll place it. Will a piano player and a song leader come, please? I want to ask you a question here tonight. Has this happened to your life? Have you got what you wanted? Or lost what you had? Have you done that? I was in Arkansas just recently, and a lady comes to the altar, and she was weeping and crying. I said, "Can I help you, ma'am?" She said, "I'm on the verge of committing suicide." She said, "My life is completely destroyed." She said, "My husband got to bring a guy home, one of his best friends, and me and him fell in love with each other. I thought he was in love with me, and I fell for that thing hook, line, and sinker. All these years has passed, and I went off that man and left my children, and now he's left me for another woman. He has left me for another woman." Now listen to this. And she said, "Now my children don't want nothing to do with me." You see, she got what she wanted, but she lost what she had. Don't let this happen to you. These might be the most blessed, sacred times of your life. That God's blessing you and taking care of you. Don't lose what God. Don't do like the children of Israel said, "God, our souls is dried up because you won't give us things like we used to have a long time ago." God said, "I'll send leanness to your soul." Don't lose what you touch of God in your life. Let's all stand if you would, please.
Somebody say, "Brother Johnny. Brother Johnny, I want to come."
Amen. Yes.
"Brother Johnny, if you get what you want, you're liable to lose what you had." You see what Brother Johnny's saying? Sure, you get God to let you have some things, but it does not mean they'll be in the center of his will. Yes. Yes. Come on, children. Come on, children. Come on, children. You get what you want, but you'll lose what you got.